from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, and I hope you're having a fantastic Friday. Welcome to this edition of Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Delighted to be with you this afternoon, and we are getting underway right now. The House yesterday passed the Israel Security Assistance Support Act. This is a bill that urges President Biden to end his delay on sending vital weapons to Israel for its war against Hamas. So now the ball is in the Senate's court, where it awaits a decision by Senate Democrat leader Chuck Schumer.
He's going to have to make a decision. He can give a bunch of hot air and rhetoric today, but when that bill comes over to the Senate, there's going to be a lot of other people, I think, that are going to have a say in whether or not he sits on that bill and sides with Hamas or else supports Israel.
Of course, that was House Majority Leader Steve Scalise yesterday. And now Senate Schumer is suggesting that he's not even going to bring the measure up for a vote. Now, by the way, the measure passed in the House by bipartisan votes. So now it's on the way to the Senate floor, and how is all this going to unfold? Well, Congressman Tim Burchett, a member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, will be joining me here in just a moment to discuss that. And as many of you know, on this Sunday, May 19th, churches throughout the country will stand for and pray with Israel. Well, Pastor Avi Mizrahi, he's going to be joining me live from Israel for an on-the-ground update on what those prayers mean to the people of Israel and how we can support Christian ministries throughout the Holy Land. You don't want to miss his comments coming up later. And this week, a statue honoring the Reverend Billy Graham was unveiled in the U.S. Capitol's Statuary Hall.
Billy Graham is such a towering figure in my life, and as he is in all of our lives, and such a singular figure, and the leading ambassador for the kingdom of our lifetimes, and it just means so much to us. Billy Graham finally takes his rightful place on these hallowed grounds of American democracy.
It was a powerful, powerful ceremony. That, of course, was House Speaker Mike Johnson speaking at that ceremony yesterday. It was a moment of joy. It was a time of evangelism in honor of the man that we all knew as America's preacher. Despite some grumbling from the left, it was amazing. Washington Stand reporter Sarah Holliday attended the unveiling, and she will be joining me in just a few moments with what she saw. And at a Catholic college graduation ceremony this past week, three-time Super Bowl champion Harrison Butker drew a standing ovation for his remarks.
We are going to be men and women for this time in history. We need to stop pretending that the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. We must always speak and act in charity, but never mistake charity for cowardice.
It's an incredible speech, but just like what happened with the unveiling of Billy Graham's statue, Butker's comments, they've also been marred by vicious responses from the left, illustrating that sincere displays of faith and evangelism these days are not well received in our culture. And we'll be talking about that as well as how Christians should respond with Family Research Council's David Clawson in our weekly Worldview segment a little bit later on. And just a reminder, with the World Health Assembly going to be taking place later this month, folks, time is running out for you to let your voice be known to the Biden administration, who really is in process of ceding authority of the United States to the World Health Organization. For information how you can make your voice known, we encourage you to text the word WHO, W-H-O, text the word WHO to 67742, or you can also, if you prefer, go to frcaction.org/WHO. But please jump on board with this and help us. All right, so we've got a packed show coming your way. Of course, our website, tonyperkins.com. If you miss any portion of the program, you can catch it there. All right, let's jump into our first guest. In response to the Biden administration withholding weapons from Israel against the will of Congress, I might add, the House passed the Israel Security Assistance Support Act, and this, of course, is placing pressure on the White House to support America's ally in the Middle East. And yet, catch this, folks, President Biden has announced that he will veto this legislation. And that response from the president has prompted Democrat leader Chuck Schumer in the Senate to indicate that he may not even bring this up to the Senate floor for a vote. So all this is just letting, look, we need a vote. We need people to know where our senators stand on this issue. Well, joining me now to discuss this and more, Congressman Tim Burchett. He serves on the House Foreign Affairs Committee as well as the Oversight Committee. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Tennessee. Congressman Burchett, always great to have you on the program, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jody. It's always good to be here. And thank you for taking the fight to them on all those issues. Incredibly important and vital to our country.
They are. And listen, that goes right back to you, Congressman. You're taking the fight to them as well. And we just are so grateful. Listen, before we discuss yesterday's vote, you serve on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, as I just mentioned. Give us your reaction to President Biden's decision to withhold aid from Israel.
Well, it's disgraceful and it's unlawful is what it is. This wasn't even our aid package that we sent over there, Jody. This is prior to that. This is arms. There was an arms contract that they actually paid for. So he's going to stop, you know, this code pink that's out here. This is their issue. And they are being funded, we understand, by Hamas, by a terrorist organization that comes up here and they claim they lobby. They just get in our face. They said something about killing my family last week. And, of course, the Capitol Hill police haven't done anything, and they won't. But here's the situation. The president, he's reading his opinion polls, and his radical left base that's on these college campuses. So, granted, these aren't your mom and dad's Democrats. These are far left anarchists and a very small minority. The president is so far down in the polls, they're afraid they won't even be able to bring those people to the table. So this is he doesn't care about Israel. He doesn't care about peace. All he cares about is staying in power and keeping this group of anarchists that are running our country in the White House. So it's completely unlawful. Imagine this, we're passing a law to make sure that he follows a law that we already passed. So that's what we did. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace to our friends in Israel, and it sends the completely wrong message.
Well, it is shameful, and that is extremely well said. You know, but you add to the unconstitutional, the breaking of law, however you phrase it there for us. Another layer of all of this is the reality that the Biden administration somehow is taking it upon themselves to micromanage a foreign war that's being conducted by one of our allies. I mean, what about that aspect of it all, too?
Well, the last thing they want, Jody, is American boots on the ground. You saw what happened in Afghanistan by this lack of leadership, this complete vacuum. 13 brave Americans got killed. One of them, a constituent of mine, Sergeant Ryan Canales. I live on the road they named after him after he was murdered, because we had the suicide bomber, the Marine Corps sniper. I asked in testimony, did he have this guy in their sights? And they did, two different times. And yet, through our rules of engagement, the Marine Corps sniper, a man trained to do his job, who ended up getting blown up in, I think, 20-something surgeries, life ruined, he could have taken that suicide bomber out. 13 brave Americans would be with their families today. Yet this White House and this lack of leadership is what we've got. And so, yeah, Netanyahu does not want American boots on the ground, especially with this president. If he had Trump in the White House, it may be a different story. But I don't think we'd have this battle in Gaza if Trump was in the White House, to be honest with you, because they know that he's not going to put up with that foolishness and that he knows that he has an ally in Benjamin Netanyahu in Israel.
Yeah, great point. If there was a different occupant of the White House, Russia probably would not have invaded Ukraine, and Hamas would not have done this to Israel, and China would not be doing what they're... I mean, all of it, enormous consequences that are the result of elections, no question. Let me go back to the legislation that y'all passed yesterday. It's seemingly, at this point at least, not going to receive a Senate vote. At least it may not receive a vote in the Senate. But if that happens, are you still nonetheless somewhat encouraged that at least the voters are going to be able to see where the two parties stand when it comes to supporting Israel?
I think so. Your excellent point. They will. It will show that we support democracy in the Middle East. We don't support anarchists. We don't support terrorists. Yet the Democrat Party apparently does. And another vote that was taken yesterday, which was just outrageous, that we were going to, if you attacked a cop and you were an illegal alien, you would be deported. You had 148 Democrats who voted against that, for goodness sakes. You're not going to hear that on the national news. Look, the media, the left in Washington has turned against the American people, and they need to get to the polls. 20 million so-called evangelical Christians decided to stay home, and that's why we've got this in the world, and we've got this disaster in the White House.
Wow. Well, if I can switch topics for you in our brief time remaining, you also serve on the House Oversight Committee. You and I had the honor of serving together on that committee. This is one of the two House committees advancing a resolution to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress. Tell us a little bit about that. What's going on?
Well, in the testimony, there was testimony that the president was too old and too feeble to stand trial. Now, this is the guy, this is the standard bearer for the Democrat Party, and yet they turn loose the transcripts, but they won't turn loose the audio. And you know as well as I do that these things, stuff gets left out. You don't know where the comma, where the exclamation, where the question mark is. It's just written out. You've seen this stuff, and it's very mundane. But when you hear it, you know what's happened. Well, the White House is taking it upon themselves and our just lack of Justice Department, if you will, to say, we are not going to release that. It's Freedom of Information Act or whatever, and they're using executive privilege to hide it, which is not in the Constitution. And the executive privilege on things like that is for national security, and all this is for political security. It will show that this president is inept and is not capable of being in the White House, which I think a majority of Americans know, but this would just be the icing on the cake.
30 seconds or so left. What's next as it relates to the Attorney General? Where do you go from here?
Well, as you said very well, Chairman Jordan and Chairman Comer both advanced this. It will go to the floor, I guess, on a vote, and it will probably pass, but it won't go anywhere because our Justice Department, the same Justice Department that says that moms and dads who don't want pornography in their class or in their kids' classroom paid for by taxpayers, the same Justice Department that labels them as domestic terrorists is the same Justice Department that will not move forward with this. And it will show the corruptness in the two-tier system that we have in this country, a corrupt White House and the rest of the country.
Congressman Tim Burchett, always an honor to have you. Thank you so much for standing firm. Have a great weekend. All right, friends, break, we have a Christian pastor who's going to be joining me from Israel with an update on Christian congregations there in the Holy Land and how the worldwide body of Christ can stand with them. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
In light of Israel's national security, global political, and spiritual challenges, it is abundantly clear that the people of God must visibly demonstrate our unwavering support for Israel, support which is anchored in the Word of God. To do this, we're calling on and inviting Bible-believing Christians in every place of worship on Sunday, May 19th, to dedicate time to pray for Israel's peace, prosperity, and protection. With thousands of churches and communities collectively raising their voice to the Lord on behalf of the people of Israel, this unified cry will serve as a powerful testament to the world of our shared belief and the importance of standing alongside the Jewish people. For more information and to commit to praying for and standing with Israel on Sunday, May 19th, visit PrayAndStand.com. That's PrayAndStand.com for more information.
The most underscored scripture in the Bible is this scripture, John 15:5, Jesus speaking, "For without me, you can do nothing." This is not about sucking it up. It's not about pulling up your bootstraps. It's about turning from this to something, someone, and his name is Jesus, who enables us and empowers us to be the men of God that he's called us to be.
Brothers, listen to me. You have been endowed with authority from heaven to put your hand up against all of the forces of darkness that is coming against you and against your household. And if you will use that rightful authority, God himself will stand in back of it.
God has given you, as the parent, as the father of your children, the responsibility and the authority to teach your children. You are not to outsource that to your wife or your pastor. You are the spiritual leader of your home.
You will never be faithful in serving your calling if you're not faithful in your family relationships. It just won't happen.
I don't need entertainment. I don't need opinions. I don't need a soft message. I need the Bible. I came to hear the Word of God today. That's what we need today, the Word of God.
And welcome back to Washington Watch. Glad to have you on board for this Friday edition. All right, the Hebrew word duget describes a small fishing boat, such as the type that would have been used in the first century by Peter and Andrew and James and John. But much like those biblical disciples, Pastor Avi Mizoraki is the founding pastor of Adonai Roy Congregation and Duget Outreach Ministries. He also was called by God to be a fisher of men, leading a ministry in the land of Israel and beyond, doing just that. And as we anticipate this coming Sunday as a big event here in the United States to stand for, pray for Israel, Pastor Mizoraki, I'm so honored, is joining me now from Israel to talk about the situation on the ground from the perspective of the church and the body of Christ there in Israel and how Christians here in the United States and around the world can support the people of Israel, both Jews and Christians. Pastor Mizoraki, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, and shalom from Tel Aviv, Israel.
Well, it is our honor to have you. Why don't we start by sharing the story of your ministry so that our viewers and listeners can have a better understanding of what you're doing and, frankly, how life has changed for you since October 7th.
Oh, yes. I was born and raised in Israel. I'm a native Israeli. I came to know the Lord 40 years ago in a Baptist church in Florida. And then I knew that I want to go home and do one thing, share the good news of Yeshua, of Jesus, and make disciples, because Yeshua is the only hope for Israel and for the whole Middle East. And we have been reaching out. We have been reaching out to Israelis with people, and then we started a congregation. And I can tell you, Jewish, the people in Israel, Jewish and Arab, are very open, and God is working in Israel. We see a wonderful thing. The harvest is ready in the land of Israel today.
That's amazing. So I want to get to that. I think it's important for us to hear how God is at work. But before you talk about that, how much has life changed since October 7th for Jewish community as well as Christian community and people all throughout Israel?
Yeah. October 7th has definitely changed Israel. Israel is not the same. And you know, many people don't know really what happened, but when you realize that 3,000 terrorists on Saturday morning on October 7th infiltrated into 20 Jewish farms, collective farms, kibbutz, moshav, cities, and slaughtered more than 1,200 civilians, children, rape women, and the atrocities that happened, it really was a wake-up call for us. You know, we're in Israel, we are want peace, shalom. We sign peace agreement with Egypt, with Jordan, with the Amorites, with Morocco. And now we want to do it also with Saudi Arabia and also with the Palestinians. But this was a wake-up call because it showed us that this evil, demonic Islamic jihadist, Hamas, Hezbollah, Islamic Brotherhood, all this ISIS, all this demonic evil that want to destroy and kill and wipe out Israel from the map that is supported by Iran, we realized that we had no choice, but we have to defend our homes. We have to defend our families, our country, and we have to fight and go after those terrorists. And this has really brought unity to our country that was very much divided before that, and it's brought unity to us. And everybody, it's like a spirit was risen up within our people to stand and fight for our homes, for our lives. And we, the believers, we have very part of that. We have had almost 1,000 believers in the land that have been called, like my son-in-law. And my son-in-law have been called to the reserves and they had to fight. And it's not been easy. Listen, we have been seriously wounded and we are now licking our wounds. And you have to understand, every day we have funerals, even today. We had more soldiers killed. Every day we have funerals, people are crying. And all we need today is for people, especially for born-again Christians, to pray for us and embrace us and say, you're not alone, we are with you. And this is what we need right now.
Well, and you are getting that regardless of what the mainstream media may be saying. Christians all throughout the world are praying for Israel, praying for the peace of Israel. What have you been hearing from those who have reached out to you? And I guess more broadly, what does the support from the global body of Christ mean to Israel right now?
It means so much. It means so much. For example, a couple of months ago when Franklin Graham came to Israel in time of war, in fact, before him, your president, Biden, when he came as the war started and came to Israel in time of war and said, you are not alone. We are standing with you. I'm a Zionist. And we were like, whoa. And he stood with us. And this meant so much to us. And to see Christian leaders like Franklin Graham and others that came and say, we are here to support you. And especially to the body of believers. The body of believers here are fighting. And also we have a message to give to the secular who don't know the Lord, that our hope is in the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus. Our hope is in the Lord. And this is the time that we need more than ever the born-again Christians to stand with the believers in the land and together pray and fight this evil and also reach out to the people with the good news, because he's our only hope.
Well, I want to again assure you that Christians here in America and all throughout the world are praying for you and for the people of Israel. May the good hand of God rest upon you, my brother. Thank you so much, Pastor Avi Mizrahi from Adonai Roy Congregation and Duguid Outreach Ministries. And friends, please, please don't forget to text the word Israel to 67742. So that you can find out more information about the Stand For and Pray With Israel event that will be taking place this Sunday. This Sunday, we're asking all churches across America to stand for and pray Israel. That's Israel 67742. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and glad to have you on board with us. Well, some of you may have seen yesterday, North Carolina's own Reverend Billy Graham was honored with a statue in the U.S. Capitol's building, the Statuary Hall. That's the place where every state gets to honor two of their most prominent citizens. And Washington Stand reporter Sarah Holliday attended that ceremony, and she joins me now with what she experienced. Sarah, welcome back to the show. Great to have you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I tell you, the ceremony yesterday for Dr. Billy Graham was amazing. In addition to his son, Franklin Graham, there were many individuals who spoke. Tell me your thoughts of the ceremony as a whole.
Oh, the ceremony as a whole was just so beautiful, so elegant. You walked in and right away it was just, there was joy in the air and excitement as people got ready to honor such a prominent figure, both in the church, but just in American life, the way he's impacted so many different worldviews of people. And so you notice that right when you walked in, the Army, U.S. Army Brass Quartet was playing hymns, beautiful music, people were chatting with one another. It was just, it was truly, truly a wonderful experience. I'm so glad I got to witness it in person.
Well, as some are asking who, of course, every state is able to have two statues in the Capitol. Most of those are in Statuary Hall there. Who did Billy Graham replace? His statue replaced who from North Carolina?
Yes, so the Billy Graham statue is replacing a 20th century governor, Charles Aycock. If you look it up on Google, you'll find that he's tied to some controversy. Outlets such as the Associated Press will pretty instinctively tie it to anything he's done with the white supremacy movement, as they put it. But really, when we think about who Reverend Graham is replacing, I think it's even more important that we focus on the fact that he is the replacement. Well, especially as a church, we should be rejoicing at the fact that we have now America's preacher, as he's been famously referred to as, sitting in the heart of this country, in our nation's capital. It's so beautiful, and what a wonderful evangelical opportunity as people walk by and see that statue that they're going to think, this man preached the gospel, or even for some people, what is it that this man did? And then we can share the gospel with them. It's truly wonderful, and I think it deserves every ounce of our attention.
It really does, and it was incredibly important to me, the prominence of the location where that statue is placed. Describe for our viewers, I know our listeners can't fully grasp this, but our listeners can paint grasp a word picture that you paint for us. What does the statue look like?
Well, looks like Billy Graham, which is wonderful. I love that. If only you could hear his accent through the statue, that would make it even better. But if you walk in through the rotunda into Statuary Hall, he's pretty much going to be right in front of you. And what I love most is that what you see him doing is he's holding an open Bible in his right hand and he's pointing to it and he's inviting people to engage in the scripture. And especially if you walk a little bit closer, you'll notice that at the base of the statue are two inscriptions, one of John John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then also John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And that is what you're going to see if you go and look at this statue of Reverend Graham. So no matter what background you're coming from, you are actively engaging in the gospel, which is exactly what Graham would have wanted, really, in this honor of him. And so I think it's a wonderful thing. Anybody who gets the chance should definitely go see it, but even just talk about it with your friends and family, no matter where you are, because this is an opportunity to give glory to God and just learn a little bit more about how beautiful this gospel message, this good news, truly is.
How beautiful it is and powerful it is and appropriate it is for those passages to be right there at centerpiece now, a statuary hall with Reverend Graham holding the Bible and inviting people to come with him to the gospel as given to us in God's Word. It's absolutely amazing. I've got so many questions I'd love to ask you because I thought the ceremony was spectacular and certain things stood out to me. But on the other side of the coin, we've got a lot of people on the left who have objected to Graham's inclusion among the statues there. What is their argument? What are they upset about?
It's only funny you ask me because I think we could probably spend an entire segment talking about reasons why the left objects. But really, if you take even a moment, it's not surprising at all because this is good news, but to them it's not. A lot of what the Bible proclaims is inherently offensive to somebody who's not a believer. It definitely calls you to go against a lot of what, and by you I'm referring to the left, a lot of their ideologies and their worldview go in complete opposition to what Scripture calls to be good and righteous. And so we really can't be surprised that they're objecting to it. And when you ask me what are their arguments, you know, why are they objecting, it actually makes you want to shift the focus a little bit to, well, I guess we can come up with a lot of answers to that. Even Jesus himself said, if the world hates you, it's because they hated me first. But now we can actually shift to this question of why and how is this statue actually an opportunity to minister to those who object to this message? And so once again, we've already talked about the details of the statue, but as Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said, he believes that statue was providentially placed because think about it. How many people come to this capital, the nation's capital, just to get tours of it all around? And they get, you know, different backgrounds of tour guides. Some of them are more theological, mostly just historical. But when we go to this statue, no matter whether you're in an organized group or just with friends and family, this is a wonderful, perfect opportunity to talk about the good news. And even with those who object it, it's beautiful, truly.
Sarah Holliday, thank you so much for giving us a report and for being there in behalf of FRC. All right, friends, coming up, we've got a temper tantrum underway from the left that's unleashed against Super Bowl champion Harrison Buckner. He spoke at a Catholic college graduation ceremony. We'll tell you what the uproar is all about right after this break. Stay tuned.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in him through his word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. An honor to have you. I'm Jody Eich, your Friday host. All right, just a reminder before we get into this final segment. Yesterday, the House of Representatives passed the Israel Security Assistance Support Act, which, as the name would imply, it rebukes President Biden for withholding weapons from Israel for their war against Hamas. Well, we have put together a petition. We are asking you to come on board and help all of us together unite our voices in calling on the administration to stop delaying these weapon shipments to Israel. So here's what I'd ask you to do. You've got two options. You can text the word AID, A-I-D, text AID to 67742, or you can go to frcaction.org/aid. That's frcaction.org/aid. Friends, this is a critical time, and this is no time for us to be holding up shipments of weapons and support to Israel. All right, you may have seen this. Professional football player Harrison Butker of the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs, he drew a lot of flags from the left this week when, in a graduation speech at Catholic Benedictine College, he addressed President Biden's retreat from Catholic orthodoxy, things like transgender ideology and protecting the unborn and so forth. But perhaps the most important thing he said that absolutely drove the left nuts was that he suggested that some of the women who were graduating would find motherhood and raising their family to be more fulfilling than a life dedicated to a cubicle and a corporate career.
I say all of this to you because I have seen it firsthand, how much happier someone can be when they disregard the outside noise and move closer and closer to God's will in their life. Isabel's dream of having a career might not have come true, but if you ask her today if she has any regrets on her decision, she would laugh out loud without hesitation and say, heck no.
Wow, that was Harrison Butker himself, and a powerful, powerful speech that he gave. But frankly, it was just too much for the left, and their criticism has been coming from all corners, including the NFL league office, as well as officials in the Kansas City government. It's just been blowing up. So what does it all tell us when a Catholic man speaking Catholic orthodoxy to a Catholic audience and receiving a standing ovation, I might add, and yet now he's considered being out of bounds? Unbelievable. Well, joining me now to discuss this on our weekly Worldview segment is David Clawson. He's the director of the Center for Biblical Worldview here at FRC. David, welcome back to Washington Watch. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me again, Jody.
All right. Well, from what I've seen, at least, the headlines don't accurately capture what Butker actually said. So can you go back and kind of provide a quick overview from the highlights of his 20-minute graduation speech?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Jody, it was a 20-minute graduation speech. And it was a really good speech. I read through the transcript and actually watched part of it when the school posted it online. And he addresses the fact that this graduating class entered college during the COVID-19 pandemic. And he kind of acknowledged at the onset of the difficulties that graduating seniors this year, you know, they really had a different college experience than most of us have. He kind of quickly pivoted to the bulk of his speech where he talked about how the cultural values that have long upheld Western civilization, the cultural values that Americans have long held are quickly deteriorating. And he pretty early on in the speech mentioned some of those and specifically attacked President Biden on the gender ideology issue, on abortion. And again, he's speaking to a very devout Catholic graduating class. And he made the point that if you're going to profess to be Catholic, you actually need to believe and live out Catholic teachings and Catholic convictions. And then from there, Jody, he just really talked about the importance of this graduating class living out their vocation and the importance of leadership. It had the typical, some of the, you know, admonitions that you'll hear in most graduation speeches, but I thought what was most helpful about is his just encouragement to this graduating class of students to do hard things and to live an authentic Christian life.
It's amazing that for doing so, he kind of receives the flag, to use an NFL picture, or being thrown out of bounds, when in reality, the ones who ought to be getting the flag are those who are not, those professing Catholics especially, like the president, who are not upholding the Catholic teaching. So it seems to me like it was bold, but certainly not out of bounds to criticize the president, abortion, transgender ideology, and even from what I understand, Catholic priest, he mentioned, who have strayed from the Orthodox teachings of the church. But all of that is not really what has drawn the biggest reaction. What was the big deal that just kicked the hornet's nest of the left?
No, that's right, Jody. And there are a lot, you know, his critique on gender ideology and abortion and DEI, and he even referred to Pride Month as a glorification of the deadly sin. There's a lot in there, but his main point, about two-thirds of the speech, when he talked about vocation, and he addressed the ladies in the crowd, and then he pivoted and addressed the men. But it's what he specifically said to the female graduates. He specifically said that some of you are going to graduate and go on to have successful careers, but I imagine most of you are most excited about marriage and the children that you will bring in to the world. And then he actually choked up at one point, talked about his own wife, and how the most important title that his wife holds is that of homemaker. And what's fascinating, Jody, is that there was an 18-second applause. That was the only time where he had to stop speaking because the crowd, the devout Catholic families, parents and graduates, they loved it. They ate this part of the speech up. And then from there, he addressed the men, and he talked about how men are told that it's not necessary for them to be in the home and in the community, and that the importance of men setting the tone in their communities, how the men should use their skills for God's glory. But Jody, it was without a doubt, if you're looking at the news right now, the fact that he dared to suggest that women graduates, many of them are looking most forward to getting married and having children, that was just a step out of bounds. Call the flag for daring to suggest that.
Wow. And, you know, here's a Catholic man speaking to a Catholic audience on a Catholic campus, speaking Catholic doctrine, and all those on the outside are just going crazy with it. So let me ask you, as we get into the biblical worldview perspective of all of this, what do you make of the left's reaction?
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Jody, because he dared to criticize the sacraments of the left. You know, the secularist worldview, it is a worldview, and it is a theological worldview. It's atheological, but they have positions and commitments and convictions. And he dared to challenge their commitment to abortion and gender ideology. He dared to critique the lies of feminism. And so these are, you know, such sacred cows, so to speak, on the far left, that when someone with a, you know, he's a three-time Super Bowl champion, when he dared to suggest an alternative Christian perspective, a Christian worldview that diverges from kind of the accepted secular orthodoxy, there's this firestorm. And I think that he dared to critique some of these things is in large part why there's been so much outrage.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, here's a three-time Super Bowl champion. Look, it may be worth mentioning, he's really good at his job, right? I mean, he's got an incredible career in the NFL, and the media may try to do everything in the world they can to cancel him, but I feel quite confident the Kansas City Chiefs, they're not getting rid of him. I mean, but I'll tell you this. I don't know if you just heard the interview with Sarah Holliday with the unfolding of the Billy Graham statue a little while ago, but that had to also, in addition to this, with what happened at the speech, Billy Graham was honored at the Capitol. We have a graduation speech that stands for Christian principles. Freedom From Religion Foundation was just one of the organizations that was raising a fuss all about this. But it was a rough day for the left when it comes to Christianity being out front and center, unashamed, speaking truth in the midst of a culture that is doing everything they can to bury the truth and to silence those who will voice the biblical message in the front and center of our culture. What are your thoughts?
Well, no, I agree with that 100%, Jody. And I, too, had the opportunity to go to the Capitol yesterday and to see the statue. And it's a remarkable statue. It's a wonderful depiction of Reverend Graham. And on the sides, they have engraved John 3:16 and John 4:16, where Jesus says, you know, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And the verse goes on to say, no man comes to the Father except through me. And so there are Christian claims being made on this statue that's going to be there in Statuary Hall. And you're right, that's making the left's head explode because you have explicit Christian claims that are being made. But you know what's interesting, Jody, and I think the left doesn't like to talk about this, is that these views that we're talking about, the views that Reverend Graham espoused, they're shared by tens of millions of people. Reverend Graham, during his lifetime, for 61 years, was voted in the top most in Gallup's most admired man in America. 61 times during his lifetime. And so these views that we hold that stem from Scripture on the sanctity of life, on the sanctity and dignity of marriage, the exclusivity of the gospel, the way of salvation, these actually are shared by tens of millions of Americans. And I think when those of us who hold these convictions enter the public square and profess these values and these beliefs, by the way, values that are culture depends on and that our nation was founded on, the left really increasingly gets so frustrated and can't stand it.
Yeah, a great point. I mean, here's Billy Graham's one of only four in America's history that has received the Medal of Honor recognition, lied in state in the Capitol, and has a statue after him. Only four people in our nation's history. And as you mentioned, here's an individual who for years, decades, was named among the most admired people in America. What happened? What happened to the left to all of a sudden turn on him?
Yeah, and I think that's a fair question, because even when you look at Reverend Graham's life, he was a counselor, not just to Republican conservative presidents. Some of the presidents he was closest to would be Lyndon Baines Johnson. He was also very close to Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, when Reverend Graham passed away, went out to pay his respects in person to the Graham family. And so I think what explains this is in the last 20, 25 years, our nation really has taken a sharp turn away from biblical values. And unfortunately, and this is reflected in biblical illiteracy, drops in the incidence of biblical worldview, but we have a militant secularism, and we have things like the LGBT moral revolution, things like this, Jody, that really in a, you know, again, I use the term moral revolution intentionally because it is a revolution in morality that the velocity of this revolution has, I think, taken many of us off guard, especially older generations who are now looking around saying, this isn't the country I grew up in. And so I think there's a lot of complexity here, but in the last 20 years, a lot has happened.
It really has, but I would just like to remind all our viewers and listeners that in spite of all the cultural drifts that are taking place, we still do have religious protection.
Yes.
As described for us by God in our Constitution. And in fact, just recently, that led to a court decision that a Catholic church can legally discontinue hiring any substitute teacher that lives counter to Catholic teachings. How important is it for us to remember that not only biblically do we have the mandate to stand and to be salt and light, but here in America, we are still blessed with the Constitution that allows that and protects it.
No, you're right, Jody. And the case you just mentioned came out of the Fourth Circuit, which has actually become one of the most progressive, you know, appellate courts in the nation. And yet they sided with a Catholic school that said this teacher who was clearly out of step with church teaching by marrying another man, that the church was in its, the school was within its right to dismiss this teacher. Again, the left's up in arms about it. The ACLU's all upset about it. But it's a good reminder, in this country, we have the First Amendment. We have the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We have these things in place that are worth fighting for, that we need to continue to fight for, that do allow us as Christians to have religious freedom, to believe what we want to in terms of doctrine and theology, and the freedom to order our lives in accordance with these values. So these values are ones that we have, but they'll go away if we don't fight for them, articulate for them. That's, Jody, that's why we pray, we vote, and we stand for all of these things.
Well, absolutely, and that's what we are here to do at FRC, and we're deeply, deeply grateful, David Clausen, for all that you do here at FRC, at the Center for Biblical Worldview, and keeping us abreast not only so many critical issues, but how those issues tie directly into a biblical worldview perspective and providing that for us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jody.
All right, friends, that wraps up yet another week here on Washington Watch. And I just want to leave you with the greatest admiration and encouragement to stand for truth, never, never, never back down. God is with us. His favor is with us. We have nothing to fear. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you next week right here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.